Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beginning of worship today, we heard a little brief snippet from the Gospel according to John. And Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Well, do you? Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. I think most of you are familiar with a place called Holden Village. Is this correct?
Yes. Yeah.
If you are not, Holden Village is a former copper mining town in the center of Washington State. It's up in the Cascade Mountains. Nice idea. We're almost to that part. It's a former mining town up in the center of Washington State that in the 50s, late 50s, early 60s became a ward of the Lutheran Church. And over the years, it's been transformed into a retreat center. And I got to tell you, it is one of my favorite places on earth. I love Holden desperately. We have frequently used a thing called Holden Evening Prayer here for worship. We've converted it into a morning service. It's that one with, how do parts of it go? There's the psalm that goes back and forth. I have all the Now the Feast stuff in my head right now. It's a beautiful thing. An angel came to earth, to a town called Nazareth, to a woman whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, for God is with you." Does that kind of ring a bell?
Yes.
It's a beautiful service. I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but Holden has been in extreme danger for the past month or so from wildfire. And I can't even begin to explain to you how extreme this is when I say it. In fact, I would rather show you a picture. This is Washington State, if you didn't know. If you didn't know, I'm impressed because you live here. Maybe you can see it on that map, maybe you can't, but near the center, near the top of the state, is a thing called Lake Chelan. It's a very narrow, long finger lake. If we zoom in a little bit to Lake Chelan, that dark outline on the left side of that lake is the border of the Wolverine fire right now. If we zoom in to the far left of that, this is a different picture. You can kind of see the orange there. That's the fire. You can see that little notch on the left-hand side with that little white space. So let's zoom in a little bit further. That big white space to the bottom, that's the old mine. That little smidge of white in the dead center, that's Holden. And that orange is where the fire has been. And if we zoom in one more, you can see that it has been very close to the village. It is literally surviving by the skin of its teeth right now. They've been using what they call back burning, where they torch trees to create a fire line. They've been using sprinklers. They've been using bulldozers. They've been using helicopters, the DC-10 that's dropping retardant, foil. They've wrapped the buildings in foil. To give you another perspective, the next picture I have is taken from the boat dock that you disembark at when you get to Holden. And then you take the bus up to the village. I don't know who took this picture. I found it online and stole it. I'm recording this, but you can't see this in the recording, so I don't have to give copyright information, so it's okay. This next picture is taken at almost the same spot a few weeks ago. And that's not a floodlight in the background. And then the next picture after that gives you some more perspective. And that's disturbing, so let's go to the next slide and just have the sermon back up there. Despite all of that, Holden right now is still safe. The line has held. The buildings are up. The trees around the perimeter are still up. I'm excited to go back out and visit. It's going to look different. There's no doubt about that. It's going to look different. Most estimates are that that area has not had a big wildfire in over 100 years, which is part of why this one has gotten so out of control. It's going to look different. I've been following a lot of what's been going on online, including a Facebook group of people who feel an affinity for the village, but who obviously aren't living up there right now. And prior to this, there were a few hundred people who were following that group, who were in that group. And now there is nearly 10,000. And there have been conversations over the past few weeks, conversations about Holden, about what does it mean? What is at the heart of it? What is at its spirit? What's at its core? And the long and short of it is people have been asking the hard question, if the worst happened, if the fire reached the village, and if the structures of the physical structures were gone, if they were taken away, would Holden survive? Yes. Just heard Dorothy say yes, and that's pretty much unanimously what has been the response. That whatever happened to those physical structures, that the spirit of Holden would continue, that its heart would continue, that its impact in the ministry of not just the Pacific Northwest, but the entire country and even beyond would continue. Because at the heart of Holden Village is the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, cannot be destroyed by anything. Not wildfire, not fear, and not even death. For Jesus came to destroy the one who has the power of death and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. As you all know, I went on vacation a few weeks ago. And I got to be honest with you, I needed that help from Christ more than I think I ever have in my entire life. Some of you know that my vacation was actually delayed by a week because there was real estate stuff to do and insurance stuff to do and, oh, what else? Oh, the tent city group stuff to do and getting, you know, that whole got to get everything in order before you leave for a few weeks vacation. Oh, and we're leaving the kids with my niece. Got to get that all prepped, and it was stressful. And even up to the day that we flew out in the terminal of the airport, I was still getting phone calls about stuff. I finally, God bless him, I finally had to tell our realtor, I'm leaving the state. Whatever it is you want me to sign, it is now too late. It will have to wait until I am back. I'll be candid with you in a way that I don't think I was beforehand. I was exhausted. You know that expression, burning the candle at both ends? Ha! That's for rookies. I took that candle, I chopped it in half, and then I burnt both of those ends. I was wiped. This whole thing, this whole year has been this roller coaster of emotion. I think some of you follow the Seahawks from time to time. And they have done this amazing thing the last 2 years where they keep having these games that are just, your heart explodes if you're a fan. They keep waiting to the last possible minute to either pull victory from the jaws of defeat or completely throw the ball on when you should run at the 1 yard line, and we don't have to talk about that.
That we forget.
Yeah, let's just not talk about that. But that yo-yo of emotion, that extreme reaction of, oh, it's over. Oh, never mind, they won. Oh, they're going to win. Never mind, that was a bad call. And that's just a football game. That's just a Super Bowl. That's nothing. Really, you think about it, that's nothing. I mean, this is something much bigger. What we've been experiencing here, the story of a ministry called Bethel, the story of a community that is being faithful in walking with Christ, being transformed by the Spirit, determined to go where God is calling. And as I keep saying to you, God is still calling. You know what happened right before we left, besides the calls from realtors and everybody else? Yet another Ethiopian worship community contacted us about looking for space. And you know what happened as soon as I got back?
All right.
A cooperative preschool got in touch with Sarah asking about space. And it looks like they're actually going to be starting here in the fall, down the fellowship hall. And we'll figure out the quilting, don't worry. Because of course they do. Of course they do. Of course they want to come here and do that. Of course they do. Because the ministry of this community is filled with life. It's filled with gospel. I checked the mail when I got back. And there was a lot of mail, but there wasn't too much. And I thank Judy for filtering through so much of it. And there was a letter in there. There was a letter in the mail from a Reverend and Mrs. Martin J. Simmons. Which some of you might know that name. In Fargo, North Dakota. Letter written to Bethel Lutheran Church, courtesy the care of Pastor Chris Odey, yada, yada, yada. The outside says, thank you. Actually, the inside is a check. We should put that in the offer. Dear friends at Bethel Lutheran, we want to express our thanks for the many years you have sent us the Bethel Beam. It is appreciated. We have continued to remember Bethel in our thoughts and prayers. It is the church where Marty served the first 3 years of his ministry, 1962 to 1965, as assistant pastor to the Reverend Dr. Peterson. We still recognize a few names in the newsletter from those years. We are surprised at how the ministry of Bethel has changed. We commend you on your decision to focus on, quote, building ministry instead of the ministry of a building, as difficult as this move may be. Our prayers continue with and for you. You can count our ministry in Michigan and North Dakota as part of your accomplishment in building ministry, even in places of which you are unaware. May God continue to bless Bethel Lutheran of Shoreline Congregation, Pastor Marty, retired, and Lois Simmons. 50 years ago. Don't let that make you feel old. But 50 years ago, that's what he's talking about. That's what she's writing about. We never know the ways and the degrees to which the ministry of this community has touched people. You will never know all of it. Because God is good and God is great. And I'm happy to tell you that I came back from my vacation more aware of and embracing of that simple truth than I have been in years. Bethel will never die because her ministry is the gospel. The good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that ministry is God's ministry, and God ain't going anywhere. And Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you? Because I tell you what, more than I think I ever have before in my life, I know I sure do. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the many and multiple ways in which you have touched our lives and touched the community through us. We thank you for the challenges that we have experienced and the ways that they have encouraged us to grow. We thank you for the people who have served this congregation in ordained and lay ministry and the lives they have touched upon leaving. We thank you for the communities of faith who gather here and for the other groups. We thank you for the opportunity to be a part of our neighborhood. We ask you to continue to bless us with strength and patience. Help us to be free of fear and to recognize that we are walking boldly, following in your path. We pray all of this, O God, trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.